So today I'm titled this, No Excuses. We're in Romans chapter 2, and you know that we're teaching through the book of Romans. And so let's start. We're going to read the first 16 verses of Romans chapter 2. He says, therefore, now you know what I always do when we hit that. When you see the word therefore, you got to stop and ask, wonder what that's there for, right? So therefore is a word that's like a funnel. He's taking everything that he has just said and he's bringing it down to a main point. So you really, when you see the word therefore in your Bible, you got to stop and pay special attention. Therefore, now this is great, you're inexcusable. There's no excuse for you, in other words. Oh man, whoever you are who judged, I know that what you're thinking. I know you're thinking, this sounds like a great sermon. Boy, I'm so glad I come today. Well, it is, actually. I don't know that I'll do it a great job, but this is, it's pretty exciting. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you'll escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impotent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patience, continuance in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek, but glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. For as many have sinned without law will also perish without law, and as many have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when the Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their heart, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. And the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. You know, I think this is so self-explanatory. I think we'll just stop today and just end right. Didn't you get it? Did you get it? Amen. Didn't you? No, you didn't get it. It took hours and hours to get it. So let's pray. Jesus, we just come before you today. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for your word. Even though sometimes, Lord, it's hard to get, God, quite honestly, it's just deep and we had to dig it out, Father. But I thank you, Lord, because I know there's an exciting nugget in this word for us, God. And I pray, Lord, that the nuggets of heaven would fall graciously and freely upon this congregation, Lord, that we would hear the truth and be set free, God, that we would know you in such a precious way as Father and Son, Lord, as lover, Lord. I just pray, God, that there'd be a sweet and gentle spirit in the house today, that you would teach us from your word. Teach us and guard us and help us to guard our hearts. God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. It's really important at this juncture that we stay in context, okay? So I want you to know, you guys remember playing hide and seek when you were little, right? Are you awake? did you know? If we didn't play hide and seek when we're little, we're going to go out in just a minute and play hide and seek in this 14 acres. Well, when you were playing hide and seek, do you remember there was something really important? Base. Do you remember? If you could make it back to base, you were safe. I want to show you base. Can I show you base? Look back to verse 17 of chapter 1. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That's base. Does this make sense to you? In other words, don't try to understand chapter 2 unless you've got a good grip on verse 17 of chapter 1. Does that make sense? You must understand that he's just said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. For in it a righteousness is revealed from heaven. You got to get that one. You must understand that it's through Jesus Christ that we have been made righteous. And then in chapter 1, he continues on and he begins, remember I told you this last week, he pulls back the curtain and he says, I want to show you the rest of the story. I want to show you that if you continue in a sinful nature, what becomes of you? And he says three times, verse 24, I believe it's verse 26 and verse 27, he says, and God turned them over. Turned who over? People that would not submit their lives to Christ, who would not get saved. He says, you're going to continue to go down the road of sin, and it gets deeper and deeper and deeper and more defiled. And he says this, the first time he said, I'll turn you over to uncleanness, and then I'll turn you over to vile passions. And the third thing is, I'll turn you over to a debased mind where your thoughts are continually wicked. And then he starts in chapter 2. And I just think it's brilliant. You know why? How many people, you know, people that are not saved, but you would classify them as good people? Would you? Do you know a lot of people like that? They're not saved. They don't say that they've given their heart to Jesus. But man, morally, they're good. Chapter 2 is addressing those people. You see, chapter 2 is not written to the blood-bought, born-again Christian. It's written to the morally good man. And he's trying to tell you, there are no morally good men. Something within us wants to believe that we're good by nature, and we're not. We're not good by nature, we're evil by nature. Until the blood of Jesus comes into our heart, Jesus, and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness, is what the Word of God says. Then the goodness that we see is that of Jesus. You're still not good in yourself, but because of Christ, you've been made righteous, made right, right? You've been made right because of the blood of Jesus. So I wanted to share this verse with you in Acts chapter 17, verse 26 and 27. He said, he's made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and their boundaries of their dwelling, so that they would seek the Lord and hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. I want you to know, you have not been born at the wrong time. You've not been born in the wrong place. God has had his hand on you before you were. He had you born at such a time as this. Why? Because this was the most prominent time that you would find him. Oftentimes in my life, I felt like I was born 100 years late. I'm a John Wayne fan, and I probably should have been born on a horse out in the West somewhere. I'm just telling you. I'm a cowboy by nature. But the truth of it is, I'm not. I'm not born out of time. God knew exactly when I needed to be born. He knew that in 1961 I needed to be born, because that was the time, the most probable time that I would seek him and find him. I think that's so interesting. God's whole desire is that you would find him. Now, today he's talking about judging others. The word judge, we hear this all the time, right? Every time you ever say anything to anybody in the world, well, you ought not do that. Don't you judge me. I mean, it's the one verse that every sinner in the world knows. Judge not that you be not judged. And they will quote that to you really quickly. And that's Matthew 7:1, by the way. And it's Jesus who said it. And it is the Word of God. And so I wanted to tell you, what does that word mean? That word means don't be critical. In other words, the Greek word is krino, K-R-I-N-O. And it means to criticize, to find fault, to condemn. So this is written to somebody who is living a good life outside of Jesus. They have not accepted Christ, but they are not sinners. I mean, they are sinners, but they're not deep in sin. In other words, this is the kind of guy that when he tells you something, he will keep his word. He's not a liar. He's not a thief. He's not an adulterer. He lives a good moral life, but Jesus says that is not good enough. There's no one righteous, is what Isaiah said, right? Our righteousness is like filthy rags compared to the Lord. So when you think you're morally right outside of Jesus, you're still wrong. You still need Christ. And so when that moral person begins to stand in judgment towards other people, the Bible says what they're doing is they're heaping upon themselves more judgment on the day of wrath. Folks, this is really serious stuff. And we need to tell our friends that, right? We need to tell people, is it possible that this could also apply to us? Absolutely. You know, I find that Christian people sometimes get really self-righteous. And we need to remember, there go I, except by the grace of God. Right? Thank God he called you. It wasn't that you were so bright, he called you by name. He pulled you in. He sent his Holy Spirit to begin to draw you and woo you. We should never forget that. This man that this is written to, we would say he's an upright man. He's good, decent, honorable. He has strong values, standards, and principles. He's well-disciplined and self-control. And he has no patience for people that are not. Right? Has no patience for those that are not. Sometimes I find that church falls into this category. But this is specifically written to those who do not know Jesus. Do you know why I know that? There's something key in this scripture. He says you're storing up for yourself wrath on the day of wrath. In chapter 1, he says, I've not appointed my people to wrath. Do you get that? This is not about the saint of God, the born-again Christian. Because our wrath, the wrath of God that was on our life, has been paid for. We don't go to judgment and get more wrath from God. Our wrath has been paid for. You got it? So this is written to someone that's not inside of the body of Christ. But I've been so excited about sharing this passage of scripture to you because I know a lot of people like this. I know a lot of people that are not Christians, but they're morally good people. And I just want to go out and say, don't you understand what you're doing? See, when you look at others and you criticize them, you're in yourself storing up wrath for you're condemning yourself. And are we critical? Can we talk, right? Oh man, can we get critical? You know, have you ever met anybody that smoked all their life and then they quit smoking? Man, they are intolerant to people that are still smoking. I can't believe they're smoking. Well, you did for 30 years. You know, I don't know. Once we get past something, it's like we have no toleration for someone that's still doing that. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, it's in red in my Bible, should be in yours. It's the same Greek word when he says judge. It's krino, K-R-I-N-O. Krino not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you'll be judged. And with the measurement you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye and look a plank is in your own? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So this is a critical spirit is what we're dealing with. Jesus talks about it. Don't do this. To us, sin is a matter of an action, right? Something you do. To God, it's a motivation of the heart. This is why we miss it. Because to us, we'll say, I can't believe he committed adultery. Can't believe he did that. And yet we do it. Jesus said, when you look upon a woman with lust in your heart, you committed adultery. So we're judging the person that did the act, but we're just as guilty. The Bible says that we ought not hate our brother, ought not commit murder. And he says, but when you hate, it's the same as the sin of murder. But when I read the readings of Jesus, when I read what Jesus said about sin, and then I think about the Ten Commandments, I think, I'm pretty sure I've broken every one of them. How many want to vote for your pastor today? You're my kind of man. I'm guilty. And so are you. And it's so easy. You know, I could stand up here and tell you my list of, I have not. I've never committed adultery. I've never kissed another woman besides Treva. I've never smoked a joint. I've never done drugs. I've never drank. I've got a lot of nevers in my life. You get it? I got a lot of things that I can say. I've never done that. Am I better? No. Are you reading me? I'm not better than anyone else. I'm not better than the drunk or the drug addict. Because inside this heart is it's deceitfully wicked. And if it wasn't for Jesus, I would still be that way. Please understand this. Because these people that we know and love, they're heaping upon themselves judgment by them judging others. Again, let me go over the to crino, to judge, is to criticize, to find fault, and to condemn. Are you condemning others by what I would say? Are you looking your nose down at somebody else, thinking you're so superior? Come on. According to the word, we're speaking judgment on ourselves. God's judgments are true and right. Psalms 19:9 says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Here's my comment. Let's leave the judgment to God, not to us. See, God's judgment is right. God's judgment will be pure and true. Yours, not so. Because we come from the wrong base. Are you getting me? We're not coming from the base, I've been made right. We're coming from the base, I think I am right. That base is called a base of pride. You see, I find this in the church. I find that if Satan can't get you in a lot of sin, he'll get you in pride because you're not sinful, because you're not doing those things, right? Oh, I ain't ever done this. I ain't ever done. Who cares? You're just as guilty in your heart. He says, according to your hardness, your stubbornness and unrepentance, you're treasuring wrath in the day of wrath. You're building up the judgment of God in yourself. Matthew 12, verse 37, he says, and this is a scary verse, for by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. I got to keep coming back to who is the target person. Who are we really talking about? We are talking about the person who has never accepted Christ. Now, can we be judgmental also? Yes, we can. And we need to be careful about a critical spirit. Matter of fact, let me just tell you this. I think you ought to know the things in your life that show up when you're not right where you should be. You know what I'm talking about? When you need to spend some time in prayer, and when your heart has just been drifting away from God, you ought to know what shows up first. You know what shows up first in me? a critical spirit. When I get judgmental, I know I better spend some time with Jesus. So, I feel, Hail Mary, full of grace, Father, that hour with, I feel like I'm confessing to the Father. Forgive me, for I have sinned, okay? It says, God judges. Now, this is through this chapter. I pulled these out. I pulled these things out, and I put them together. But God judges according to truth, according to deeds, and according to your words. That's in this scripture. And I pulled the words out because of the one in Matthew 12. So we are going to be judged according to our words, is what scripture says, according to our deeds. What was the third one? I forgot. Truth. Okay, because God is truth. John said that Jesus came full of grace and truth, right? Full of grace and truth. I find that sometimes we want grace for us, but I want truth on you, right? Well, it comes in one package, grace and truth. Now, I want to discuss something that I hear other Christians discussing a lot. Are all sins the same? You'll hear a lot of times, yes, all sins are the same. I want to tell you that I believe that's scripturally incorrect. That's not true. All sins are not the same. Not in some, areas they're the same. In some areas they're not the same. In the area that all sins will take you to hell, they're the same. But some sins are more abominable. So James chapter 2, verse 10 through 12 says, "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he's guilty of them all. For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' and said, 'Do not murder.' Now if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who are judged by the law of liberty." So in one respect, all sin is the same. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, for the wages of sin is death." In that respect, all sin is the same. All sin has the same payday, and that's death. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. But in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19, God says, "There are six things that I hate. Seven are an abomination before me." So God begins to tell us some of the things that he hates. And I every time I read this, I think, if you would ask me to make a list of the worst sins, these would not be on it. My list and Jesus' list of sin are different. And I think I need to pay more attention to his list than my list, okay? So his list says a proud look. I promise you that wouldn't hit my top 100. And it hits his top 7. It hits number 1. A proud look. Give me a break. Pride stinks in the nostrils of God. And sometimes, Christians, we get eat up with this one. Right? We get so stinking prideful. We always must stay humble. And when you see pride showing up, I promise you this is... It seems like the spirit of pride and the spirit of a critical spirit walk together. Pride and critical spirit just go together. So he says, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, that's a murder, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift to run to running to evil, a false witness. Do you realize two of the seven has to do with your mouth? A false witness, one who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. Give me a break. Where is child molester? I want to know. Come on, God. Where is that one? Because if you ask me for my list, number one. Promise you, number one. Can't stand people that hurt kids. Can't stand that sin. Actually, I have a hard time with them too, quite honestly. God is still redeeming me. So are all sins the same? They all have the same payday. But there is, I believe there are more wicked sin. The Bible says in chapter 1, three times, I turned them over. Sin is progressive by nature. What pleases you today, if you're living a life of sin, what's pleasing you right now will not please you in 6 months. You've got to go deeper. So it's like when Satan gets that hook in your mouth, he just starts reeling you in. And buddy, I'm going to tell you, he'll get a hold on your life if you're not careful. So God says, be careful when you get critical. Even if you see yourself as a morally good man, you know, you be careful, because what you're really doing is reaping wrath on yourself. Now, here's the good news of this chapter. God will render to each one according to his deeds. We get what we've paid for. We get what we're doing. He says, those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he gives eternal life. When you spend your life seeking Christ, doing the things that he has told you, you do not have to worry about this chapter. You don't have to worry about the day of wrath. Your wrath has been paid for. I can't say that enough. Your wrath has been paid for. He says, but wrath is coming if we're self-seeking. Do not obey the truth and obey unrighteousness and follow evil. It matters how you live. You know, for the last 4 or 5 weeks in Sunday school and talking with the men, we're talking about the grace of God. And I'm so thankful for the grace of God. But you've got to walk in this thing with balance. Grace has brought us salvation. Grace brings us so that we can be enabled to do things that we cannot do in ourselves. Grace, so when you sin, we have the grace of God. But if you begin to use grace to sin and say, well, I'm covered, then you're abusing the grace of God. You got your bubble out of the middle. Does that make sense? We got to make sure that we keep this thing in balance. I love the verse that says God does not show favoritism, no partiality. Aren't you thankful that God does not love one person more than he does the other? So every time you read the scripture and you see these great and mighty people of God, you should say to yourself, that can be me. Because it wasn't like God says, oh, he's so much better. No, no. He just walked in a different anointing. James chapter 5, verse 17, it says, Elijah was a man just like you. You remember him? Man, he did great and mighty things just like you. Why? Because God does not show partiality. You see, God, if God would forgive you all your sins, God will forgive the next person all their sins. We need to be careful that we don't make this thing about ourselves. I find that we want mercy for us, but sometimes we want truth for others. I love this verse here. Eternal life to those by patience and continuance in doing good, seek for glory and honor. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, and obey the unrighteous, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish. I'm in verse 9. On every soul of man who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek, but glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good. We want the blessing of God. And sometimes we can get to the point where we say, God, get them. Can I just be honest? Sometimes in politics, I will say, God, when are you going to bring your judgment? I am so ready to see the fire of God fall in Congress. Lightning bolts from heaven. That's my nature. God, I'm so sick of this. God, get them. But when I think about me, it's like, thank you, Lord, for your patience. Oh, God, I'm so glad that you're full of mercy and full of patience. But sometimes other people, I'm praying for a lightning bolt. And that's not what God wants. So the next time that you're thinking about a lightning bolt for somebody, you need to just think, would you pray that for you? Because if you wouldn't pray it for you, you ought not pray it for somebody else. So often, I get mad at the patience of God. I don't know if you do, but sometimes I'm like, God, when are you going to bring judgment? How can we keep in America, how can we keep doing the things that we're doing and walk in the patience and the love and blessing of God? I just don't understand you, God. But I've never said that about me. Are you getting it? And that's the critical spirit that we got to be careful with. So instead of praying for a lightning bolt, pray for salvation. Wouldn't it be, I could mention names right now, but I'm just fighting. I can't say this name. I don't want anyone to get a lightning bolt. I want them to find Jesus. Could you imagine? You know, they just see life from a different angle because they're not walking in the Spirit like you are. And it could be Congress, and it could be somebody you're working with. Somebody you're working with could just drive you crazy because they're a sinful person. And they see life in a different point of view. And you wanting judgment on them does not bring them to the point of repentance. It's God's goodness that brings people to repentance, not your judgment. So if what you really want is for that person to get saved and surrender their life to Christ and them change, right? You're wanting change. So you're praying the wrong way is what I'm trying to say. Quit praying for judgment. Let's start praying for salvation. God, reveal yourself to this person. God's teaching us to embrace mercy. There's a verse in Galatians that I think is very interesting. I don't know if you've been to church long enough that somebody in church has been found out, been caught doing something really wicked, gets on the front page of your paper saying, member of Bridge of Hope does this. You got to just cheer on those days. Praise God. At least we're known for something. You know, every one of us think, oh, dear God. But you know, the Bible in its infinite wisdom even has something that talks about that. And it's this. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Brother, if someone's caught in a sin, what if we catch somebody publicly committing adultery? What's the role of the church? What if we find someone is stealing from work and they've stolen a lot of money from work? What are we to do? You who are spiritual should restore him gently. Yeah, that's not my nature. Gentle is not in me, can I just say? If you see a gentle side of Eric, you just say, that's Jesus. Because I promise you it is. He says, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you'll fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? Love. The law of Christ is love. What are we supposed to be? We're supposed to be loving and forgiving. Now, this doesn't mean that we overlook sin, and it doesn't mean that we condone sin. Oh, it's all right. If you commit adultery, it's all right. No, it's not all right. It's not all right if you're stealing. Those things are not all right. But thank God for His mercy. Thank God that He'll forgive you. You see, every person in this place has a past. And if I could take your life and say, hey, we're going to watch Steve Lieferman's life over the last 50 years. I just want you to get to know him. We're showing you everything today, even some of his thoughts. I guarantee you, by the time it's over, Steve, you'd be underneath that chair, wouldn't you? And so would every one of us. Because there are no good people. We're not good. We're saved. We're redeemed by Jesus. So we cannot stand in our own righteousness. We stand in the righteousness of God. And you've got to always remember that's base. I've got to go back to base. I'm safe at base. I've been made righteous. I'm not righteous. I've been made righteous through Jesus Christ. One more verse that I wanted to read to you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. He says, therefore we also, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. If I can encourage you in any way, I'd say get the sin out. Deal with the sin of your life. Deal with anything that's hindering your walk with Jesus Christ. But don't become judgmental with other people. And if you know someone that you really love, even though they're not a Christian, they're just a good moral person, and they start getting judgmental with other people maybe that you work with, you need to tell them in love, hey, there go I, but except by the grace of God. Let's not be judgmental. You know, I'm telling you, you should tell them, don't be judgmental. Because if you understand what you're doing, if you need to understand, you're storing up wrath. You are bringing the judgment of God on yourself by being critical. He says, with the same measure that you're measuring out your judgment, it will be measured back to you. Oh, I don't want that. I don't want my judgment to come back to me. Do you? I want the love, the mercy, and the grace of God flowing freely in my life. And if I want it for me, I need to ask for it for you and for those that do not know Jesus. Does this make sense now? Isn't it exciting? Chapter 2 is really not written to you. It's really written for that moral person without Christ. See, why do you get so excited about that? Because Jesus loves them so much that he wrote a chapter in his great love story, his great book, he wrote a chapter for that person. Because he doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He wants everyone to accept him and to come to righteousness in Christ. Amen. Stand with me if you would. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, and I'm going to ask you to get it really honest with me and with the Lord. It's very, very possible that today this finds you in an era of judgment towards somebody else. You know, I believe with all my heart, Satan is trying to divide us so badly that we are standing in judgment for people that wear masks, or people that get vaccinated, or people that are Democrat and I'm Republican. So, man, he's just trying to divide us, and there's this critical spirit that wants to arise in us. And if that's you, if you have been dealing with this critical spirit, would you just lift your hand before the Lord? Because I want you to say, Lord, I'm asking you today to forgive me. Now, there's about 4 honest people in this church. But the truth of the matter is that's probably every one of us. You know, I've had to quit. You can put your hand down. You know, I had to quit watching the news because I'd get so mad. And I realized that my anger was not working the righteousness of God. So I want us to pray today and just ask God to forgive us. Okay, can we do that together? Jesus, I come before you. And Lord, even though that this scripture is written to the man that is morally right but does not know you as Savior, Lord, there's a pretty big part of it that has convicted me this week about getting critical. And God, I've listened to people all week as we talk, and Lord, this is not just me, but I find this all through the body of Christ, that we are becoming very critical to each other. So God, I'm praying, Lord, and I'm leading this church in prayer, a prayer of repentance to cleanse us, to forgive us. God, who are we to judge? Lord, I pray, Lord, that the seeds of a critical spirit would be forgiven and dug up in our life. God, put an axe to the root of that tree, because I don't want to bear the fruit of a critical spirit. I'm asking you to forgive me, God. how to put this out. Sometimes I just stumble with my words, but you know, you may be that person who has never accepted Christ in your life. And you may have trouble with that because you are a morally good person. Man, this is so hard to say, but please hear me. Morally good people that have not been born again go to hell because there are no morally good people. We're all wicked. We're all evil. We all need Jesus. So if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ, you've never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin, would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to get this one right. Anyone here at all? Okay, then I'm believing that every person here is born again. And I'm thankful for that. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your scripture of encouragement. God bless us and help us to fight the spirit of a critical spirit. Let us remember that we are made righteous. We're not righteous in ourselves. We've been made righteous because of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Is Denny here? I haven't seen. There you are. Man. Okay, Denny will come and end with the blessing.
Guess I threw him off by sitting on the other side of the room today, so trying to mix it up a little bit. Now. He's getting older every day, isn't he? Now, this message is great because I was raised to be that morally good person. That's the way, growing up, that's the way my parents were. You know, we're good people, we don't do these things because bad people do these things. So it was only by the grace of God that I was introduced to Jesus at the age of 16. So chapter 2 is not written to me anymore, but it was at one point. So it's comforting to know that people like that, God still cares for them. So that was such an encouragement. Raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. With nothing missing and nothing broken, now go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.